Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game in the Game Nashville app. We are live from the Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical Game Studios, and we're streaming live on all of our social media platforms. D-Mace is here. D-Mace, how we doing?
Hey, doing wonderful. Got my stuff situated at home, finally, now. No longer have cold water.
Yeah, it's more comfortable.
It's a lot more comfortable
to be at your house now.
Good. Absolutely.
I'm glad. Willie will join us later on in the show. He mm-hmm. is in New York. Predators are in action tonight against the New York Rangers. Puck drop at 6 o'clock. All of our pregame coverage will start here on 102.5 The Game at 5 p.m. Well, I want to get into what I think a lot of Titans fans are just ready to do. And I think it's what Titans fans have been ready to do for a long time, maybe mm-hmm. even before this season. And now, look, I don't necessarily agree, but we get to hear from the fans every day. Text line, call line, and I see it on social media. They're ready to tear things down. Mm-hmm. I don't want to say rebuild because I feel like rebuild isn't the right word to use. But they're ready to move on from the existing core and transition into the next season. Now, you're looking at the Titans next year. Mm-hmm. They have five picks in the NFL draft. Two of them are in the seventh round. You have a first, a second, a fourth. I said they're fourth or fifth, and then two sevenths. Mm-hmm. So, you got to rebuild your team, essentially, mm-hmm. reconstruct, and you don't have a lot of assets to do it. So with the trade deadline coming up at the end of the month, of course, the Titans on a bye this weekend, then they play the Falcons, and then the trade deadline is on Halloween. Mm-hmm. A lot of people want the Titans to trade away assets and move ahead for the future. Now, I don't totally agree, but let's go with it. Because Mike Vrabel said, hey, we're open to anything.
Would you consider trading assets at the deadline and prioritizing a draft pick in next year's draft?
I think we would always consider trying to strengthen the team, whether that's right now, this week, or in the future. Absolutely.
So, yeah. Mm-hmm. Anything's on the table. We're open to making this team better. Now, Mike Vrabel's path to making this team better might be different than my path, than your path, than a lot of the fans' paths. But I think when he says we're open to making our team better, I think to me, D-Mace, that mm-hmm. means anything's on the table.
Yeah, it is. Anything, not out of the ordinary. Mm-hmm. We don't want to go too far outside of,
of reason.
Exactly, of reason. I mean, some guys are off the table. Uh-huh. You would think, our picks for this year are off the table. I mean, for last year's picks, this prior draft's picks, and then Jeffrey Simmons, he's off the table. Mm-hmm. And maybe the young guys that they drafted last year are off the table. But when you're talking veteran guys that have been here, through this whole ride, his 5 years, then yeah, those guys are on the table. As much as we may not want that to happen, it seems like a bunch of Titan fans, and I'm not going to sit here and say all of them, mm-hmm. but I think there is a group that would rather the Titans just say, listen, let's see what we have and move on. Mm-hmm. Because right now, this team is not in a position, considering that quarterback's hurt now, injuries they have with one of their starting receivers.
Yeah.
They can't get the offensive line right. This team is not in a position to truly push for a championship mm-hmm. or more or less, truly push for a place in the playoffs. Now, again, anything can happen. And mm-hmm. we talked about this yesterday. I'm cautiously optimistic that they can do it because I know how this league can turn around.
You and I both, I think, are intrigued to see what mm-hmm. the existing team can do, but also acknowledging that this roster has some very obvious and clear deficiencies.
Exactly. And you don't want to get to a point in the season where you're forced to now, mm-hmm. You're forced to look at what you have. And you're forced to face the future of what this team potentially may not or may look like mm-hmm. Next year. I would rather do it on my own, see the landscape of where this team's going now, make some moves now in regards to trade or you know, letting some young guys play and see what they have. You know, I was listening to Chase and Big Joe coming in, and they had, I forget his name now, from Houston.
John McClain?
Yeah, John McClain.
Yeah.
They had John McClain on. Yeah, they had John McClain on. And I caught like the tail end of it. And what I think he was saying was, hey, listen, if you got an opportunity to see what your quarterback looks like, considering what everyone else in your division is doing, then you need to do it. Because you don't want – and this is what I talked about yesterday. You don't want to get to a point where next year, now you're trying to see what you have in Will Levis. You know pretty much what you got in Malik Willis. But now you're trying to see, well, what do I have in Will Levis? Where you could have saw that already. And if you felt he wasn't the guy, then you have an opportunity to pick one of these quarterbacks in this year's draft. And I understand that these quarterbacks are not 100% going to make it. Like, right. It's just not like, okay, we draft Caleb Williams and our future is set. I understand there are busts and there are guys that excel. But at least you want to give yourself an opportunity. Because, again, if this season starts to go downhill, as it seems like it is,
It doesn't look
from
promising. What we've seen through 6 weeks, yeah. It doesn't look promising.
It doesn't look promising.
Well, understanding that weird things happen in the National Football League, and you can go on a streak where you are 2-4 and look awful, and then go on a streak over the next few games and win a majority of them, and makes you have a completely different perspective of the season.
Absolutely.
So
Those things happen. But you don't want to, you know, get to a point where the season's over with. Now you insert Will Levis as your starting quarterback for next year. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden, things are not looking the way you thought they would look. Fans are then going to turn around and say, y'all had an opportunity in a draft that many scouts believe is one of the best drafts in regards to quarterbacks.
Uh-huh.
You guys just sat around twiddling your thumbs, knowing good and well you were not in a position to win the playoffs, and you didn't allow yourself to at least see what you have in a young quarterback. Fans are going to be upset, and they have every right to be.
And I want to get into the quarterback conversation because I think it's a good and fair conversation to have of this team sitting at 2-4. Things don't look great. You could completely pivot at the trade deadline and essentially tank for as good of a draft pick as possible.
Mm-hmm.
You heard Mike Vrabel say, we're willing to do whatever it takes to make this team better. If they think that making this team better means being horrendous this season and getting a better draft pick, then great. But looking outside of the quarterback position, because I think we would all agree, let's go around the room, Tannehill's not getting traded.
Yeah, no one's going to trade
for him. He's got no trade value.
Yes, he didn't got hurt. He wasn't playing well, whether it's the offensive line or him. It was a little bit of both.
He's old and he's hurt.
Exactly.
And I thought, realistically, right now, the most likely team that would trade for a quarterback like Tannehill would be the Jets.
Mm-hmm.
Zach Wilson just beat the Eagles.
Yeah, they're looking okay. And then Aaron Rodgers seems like he's ahead of schedule. I don't know what that means, but it seems like he's ahead of schedule. So
the quarterback position, you know, for right now, in terms of trade value, Tannehill will not get traded. He has no value. But if you're going to talk about completely tearing it down, looking ahead to Will Levis, looking ahead to what this team can be in 2023, that means not just changing the quarterback position, but moving on from other positions. So I've been looking around at, you know, several different websites, whether it's The Athletic, whether it's ESPN.com, CBS Sports, of all of the biggest proposed trades that could happen in the NFL. Now, when we talk about trades, any players that are off the table, I think any players on a rookie deal, not including Christian Fulton, and and Jeffrey Simmons.
Mm-hmm.
Am I missing anyone who's off the table?
Yeah, you're not missing.
Roger McCreary?
On a rookie
deal? Yeah, I'm all right. Roger McCreary's on a rookie deal. So, no, you're not missing anyone.
So, yeah, Simmons, Skoronski, McCreary, Tajay Spears, Burks.
Yeah, you're not missing anyone other than Fulton. Then you just like, hey, if somebody want to take him, give us something, then take him.
And if you don't, then enjoy free agency. So Jeffrey Simmons and the young guys.
Mm-hmm.
So that leaves Derrick Henry. Mm-hmm. CBS Sports had a list of proposed trades. Derrick Henry to the Buccaneers for a 2024 third round pick. Would you do it?
Yeah, I would.
You would.
You know, I would. I would be surprised if you got a third round pick, but considering, you're looking at, and the Titans play the Buccaneers pretty soon in a few weeks here. But if you're looking at the Bucs and where they're at, I think they're surprisingly better than what people thought they were going to be. They're 3-2 right now. I think people believe that this team, because of, you know, the retirement of Tom Brady and them not solidifying a quarterback, they get Baker Mayfield. And people really didn't believe in Baker, but he seems like he's picking up on offense.
They
look
fine.
Really well. Yeah. So this team, you know, say if they win, I think they got a game. Yeah, they play the Falcons this week. Say if they beat the Falcons this week. This team has put themselves in a position to win their division and get to the playoffs. So
the Panthers are horrendous. The Saints can't score a touchdown.
Exactly.
Beating the Falcons would put them in a comfortable lead in the division.
Absolutely. So what would they be thinking if they indeed are able to beat Atlanta and push themselves closer and closer to, obviously, that goal of winning the division? Do they think we're only a running back away from winning the division? I'm not talking about a running back away from winning the Super Bowl. I'm just saying winning the division, getting into the playoffs. Because once you get in the playoffs, anything can happen. But I don't think we realistically think that Tampa, if they get in the playoff, they're going to beat Philadelphia or San Fran. You know, teams like that. So, but this is interesting because if indeed they do think that adding a player of Derek's caliber can help them, then I can see them, you know, possibly giving up a fourth, maybe a fifth. I don't know about a third. It can happen.
Right.
But I'm thinking more a fourth or fifth.
Like this proposed trade, if someone's willing to give you a third for Derrick Henry.
Oh, you take him.
And you've made the decision that, hey, we're going to prioritize next year. Mm-hmm. I would take it in a heartbeat.
You have to.
But the question is, who in their right mind's doing that? Like, the Buccaneers are a team that desperately is lacking a run game.
Exactly.
But if I'm the Bucs, I'm a third round pick. Like that's a high round pick. Like that's a good player. That is a starting caliber player that can help your football team right now. Derrick Henry is aging. Derrick Henry is closer to the end than he is his prime, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. So if Tampa Bay feels like they're a team that can win the division right now, but I think we all agree that Tampa Bay probably wouldn't really do much in the playoffs, even in an NFC that doesn't have as, you know, stout of a list of competitive teams as the AFC does. Mm-hmm. What's the point of trading a third round pick for a running back that can help your run game this year and maybe next year?
That's why I believe a third round pick is too high.
Too high.
Yeah.
So I think we agree we would do a third, not realistic.
Exactly. It wouldn't be, I don't think, Tampa, unless they got desperate and said, you know, we got to have Derrick Henry. Then, okay, there's a possibility that they may give up a third round pick considering how many other picks they have. Mm-hmm. I don't know how many picks they have in next year's draft, but
they have all 7 picks.
Well, they can, you know, theoretically, yeah, they can give up a third, package something later on and possibly get that third back. You just never know. But unless this team felt, again, and I can't see them feeling this way, I'm not there, I'm not in that fan base, so it can be. Unless they feel they are a running back away from really legitimately contending for a Super Bowl spot, then I can't see them giving up a third round.
Yeah. Some other proposed trades. This was from Pro Football Focus. D-Hop to the Chiefs for a 2024 third.
Well, unfortunately, the Chiefs just traded for Mecole Hardman again. So he's back in the fold with them. He excelled. Is he a top line number one receiver? No. But he brings back the speed, I think, and the comfortability with their quarterback and a rapport with their quarterback that I don't think the other receivers have quite yet. So bringing him back. But, you know, I think a third is too high.
For D-Hop?
Yeah, I think a third is too high. I don't know if a team, unless, again, they feel they may have an injury this week, and they feel, hey, we need a guy like D-Hop in order to make this push, then, yeah, they may give up a third. But I'm thinking, with even with him, it may be a fourth. And you may be doing him – I think you would be doing him a favor, because these next two seasons, if indeed you sort of, you know, go on this – force, you know, fire sale, what does next season look like? It wouldn't be looking promising in regards to winning a division. So why indeed would you keep a guy like D-Hop 2 years in a row? He's closer to retirement than not. Why would he want to spend his next 2 years here potentially on a team that will not make the playoffs?
And I would agree from the perspective of D-Hop. The only thing that I would look at from the Titans' perspective is, if we're going to move to our young quarterback, do we want to give him a D-Hop to throw to?
Well, it depends
on a security blanket.
You're right about
DeAndre
that.
DeAndre Hopkins.
It depends on, you know, if Traylon comes back. I think that, and then, you know, quietly, I think Wiley, will he be back in enough time, because, you know, he's under concussion protocol, and maybe he's back for next game, seeming they have a bye. But I think even with him, he can build a rapport with the young quarterback. The best friend for a young quarterback is a running back and a tight end, because the tight end's roles are not that far down the field. Obviously, you got to have a good defensive line, I mean offensive line. But if you get him a good tight end, a reliable tight end, and a guy that you can just hand the ball off to, then that's his best friend.
Yeah, 100%. Byard to the Eagles for a 2025 third.
You're not getting a third for Byard.
I don't think so either. And that's some of these trades. Some of these trades I look at and I'm like, well, duh. How many trades in the NFL have you seen that are like, well, yeah, who wouldn't do that?
Exactly. Like, if they want to give a third to the Titans, I take it.
Right. There are so few teams in the National Football League, if any teams in the NFL, that are going to give you quality assets for players that you might not want anymore. And Kevin Byard is a great player. Kevin Byard's a top three, top five safety in the NFL. But at this point in the season, if you are having a garage sale, well, the general managers know that, and they don't feel like they have to up the compensation, because they know that you want to get rid of your players. They know that you're prioritizing picks over players and prioritizing picks over winning. So I always say, beware of proposed trades that feel like no-brainers, because more often than not, they're not realistic.
They're not. And so in regards to, you know, the buyer, this is a tricky one, because if you're asking me, like, should they? Yes, I think they should. You get him now, because I do believe they're going to release him in the offseason. I really do. So if you, in your mind, I think they thought that once they restructured the contract, once he finally agreed to restructure the contract, take a pay cut and restructure the contract, I believe they were going to cut him anyway at the end of the season, unless he just had a all-pro season and it was a no-brainer to keep him. But I thought they were going to, you know, release him anyway. So if you know you're going to release him anyway, then yes, he's one of those guys that you would look to move. Now, you may not get a third for him, but if you can get a fourth for him, that'd be great, because he's not – what I try to explain to people, you got to take your feelings out of it.
Yeah.
You know, I think a lot of people look at it from the standpoint, oh, this person is this, and this is what they mean to the organization, and this is what they've done for the organization. I get that. But they, two guys that probably have done the most for this organization, meaning the Tennessee Titans, Eddie George and Steve McNair, and they let both of them go. They traded one. I believe they traded Steve, and they released Eddie. So they will release anybody when it comes that time. And I think right now it's that time for Byer, that they're looking to pivot in another direction. If they felt they could get away with it this past year, they probably would have done it. But I think next year is the year. So if you know in your mind, Rand Carthon, Mike Vrabel, that you're going to release him anyway, trade him away. Get something for him.
If you're going to do it, if you've made up your mind, Mm-hmm. We're moving on. You know, we're done. Get something in return.
Exactly.
I would agree. The last one is Christian Fulton to the Steelers for 2025 fifth. Do it.
If you get a fifth
round
pick,
you're not getting a fifth round pick for Christian Fulton.
Not the way he's playing. And I think Pittsburgh has had some injuries with their secondary. So maybe they offer something. But I would be surprised if they offered a fifth. But then again, you just never know.
So in this fantasy land, you would be getting, let's say if you trade all four of those players that I just mentioned, Derrick Henry, DeAndre Hopkins, Kevin Byard, Christian Fulton. I also think Danico Autry could be a potential trade pick in there.
Yes.
Possibly Amari Hooker might be a potential trade asset. But just based off of those four players, you would be getting 3/3 and a fifth.
Mm-hmm.
So there's value on this roster if that's the direction that the Titans decide to go down. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. I want to get into your calls and your texts on this because we have some spicy thoughts in the text line. So we absolutely will get into those. But coming up next, we know that there is value on this roster. Like, we just listed it out. Now, I think that you and I both agree that these proposed trades, probably a little bit too sweet to be true.
Mm-hmm.
If you can get a third for Derrick Henry. I mean, get a third. Mm. I think at best, maybe a fifth.
Mm. Yeah.
Or a sixth that's a conditional fifth. A fifth that's a conditional fourth. I mean, I just don't know really truly what you're going to be able to get in return. But there's one cash cow that we didn't mention that could potentially be a trade asset for the Titans. And I want to get your thoughts on that coming up next. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Caroline, Willie, D. Mace, we are brought to you by Zen Sports. Start earning cash rewards on your bets today. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-889-9789. Terms and conditions apply. Must be 21 or older and in Tennessee to bet.
The owner of the team isn't going to fire the coach when they suck. Then what are we doing? What are we doing? There's no accountability? So you can win or lose and just go out and play and it doesn't matter? Like, if it has reached that point, then get out. Like, what's the point? If Robert Kraft isn't going to consider seriously firing the coach, well, then what the hell are we doing? Because it's time.
So that's the conversation going on in Boston right now. And there are a million other clips just like that of either New England Patriot fans wanting Bill Belichick out, or media members in and around Boston or in the national media talking about how it might just be time for Bill to no longer be the head coach of the New England Patriots. I mean, they stink. Like, they might have a top three pick in this year's draft. Like, they are not a good football team. And to that point, if you're not willing to move on from the head coach when you're struggling, and you have been struggling over the last few years, haven't won a playoff game since 2018, then what are you doing? I understand that Bill Belichick has more skins on the wall than probably any other coach in the history of the National Football League. But at some point, when your time comes, your time comes. So there's a legitimate possibility that the New England Patriots could move on from Bill Belichick. And there is a legitimate possibility that they might want Mike Vrabel as their next head football coach.
I mean, yeah, all the conspiracy theories.
Is it a conspiracy?
He's headed down there this week.
Is it?
You know, I believe he has his...
Oh, I didn't hear that.
He has his introduction. They're putting him in the Hall of Fame Ring of Honor. So... he's headed down there, I believe, this week.
But this was something that I've seen even before.
Articles of likely head coaches for the Patriots. Exactly. But, and then they had already arranged that at the beginning of the year, I'm sure, with Mike Vrabel and his family. But, you know, on the heels of, you know, the New England Patriots doing horrible, everybody's getting fed up with Bill Belichick. And lo and behold, the prodigal son is making his way back for an induction into their Hall of Fame.
Crazy how that works.
Oh, wow.
Popularity is at an all-time high for Mike Vrabel up there in Foxborough. Mm,
exactly. So, I mean, listen, if indeed that's the route. Now, you got to be sure with this, meaning the Tennessee Titans. You have to be sure, if indeed, because he probably is – the only person that is going to, you know, bring you a high draft pick, meaning the head coach.
Right.
I don't think there's a player. There's a young player, but you're not trading a Jeffrey Simmons away. But other than that, none of your older players will garner no more than, I believe, a fourth-round pick. Now, we know what the article was saying, third-round picks basically across the board, but I can't see that happening. But like you were saying, your head coach may fetch a lot more than that. Mm-hmm. So are you willing to – because a teardown typically is just the personnel.
Right. It's not your head coach.
It's not your head coach. Now, if you want to go in that direction, you better have some people in mind to replace him. Mm-hmm. And I'm not talking about somebody on the staff. I'm talking about somebody that has experience winning as a head coach. So if indeed you're going to make that move and try to get the highest pick you possibly can without trading away, say, player assets, mm-hmm. then you better have somebody in line ready to take that job if indeed you do that.
So if we're going to talk about tearing it down, mm-hmm. getting assets for the future, the Broncos traded a 2023 first and a 2024 second for Sean Payton. So you can deliberate of, you know, in comparison to Sean Payton, what would Mike Vrabel be worth? Sean Payton won a Super Bowl, but also Sean Payton was not the active head coach of the New Orleans Saints when the Broncos traded for him. Mm-hmm. He was doing TV at that time. So let's say going right is a first and a second. Would you trade Vrabel for a first and a second?
First and a second? Uh-huh. Absolutely. Man, pack your bags. Let's go.
We had this conversation last week.
I like you, Vrabes, but I mean, that's something you can't pass that up, or you got to seriously think about that. Mm-hmm. That has to be something that everybody, you know, needs to be involved. I'm talking the owner, obviously, mm-hmm. the GM, you know, and everybody in that little circle. Because once you make it, there's no turning back, and you better be in position one to replace him, and you got some people in mind.
Yeah.
And then two, you better be in a position to draft really, really well, because it's always going to go back to 2023 when you traded away your head coach mm-hmm. to get these picks. And if they don't work out, you will be the laughing stock of the NFL for years to come.
And that's the difficult part about it.
Mm-hmm.
Is if you're tearing things down, do you trust a new head coach, a possibly unproven head coach? Because probably the heir apparent would be some sort of coordinator in the NFL mm-hmm. that's tearing it up, probably a first-time head coach. Would you trust a first-time head coach bringing along your future franchise quarterback and bringing this roster from, you know, the scraps of where it would be if you decide to completely, you know, move on and trade pieces away?
Mm-hmm.
Or is that a move and a change that you would want Mike Vrabel to oversee? You have to ask yourself that question. You have to ask yourself the question of, is Mike Vrabel and the value that he brings to this team more valuable than a first and a second round pick? Now, that's a first and a second round pick. Like,
That's valuable.
That is valuable. Like, yes. That is almost microwaving finding the future franchise mm-hmm. pieces for your organization, whether that's a quarterback, whether that's offensive lineman that you need desperately, whatever it might be. And you also have to ask yourself, do we want Rand Carthon to have total and complete general manager control?
Mm-hmm.
That's the biggest piece for me, because I feel like, and correct me if you all think differently, I feel like Rand Carthon was hired in consideration with Mike Vrabel having the expanded role that he does have.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it's, you know, free agency and drafting, that he has more of his feet in the general manager pool than he mm-hmm. did before. So that would inherently, if you bring in a new head coach, that would inherently give Rand Carthon basically probably exclusive general manager duties.
Mm-hmm.
So you now got a first-time GM,
mm-hmm.
a first-time head coach, a rookie quarterback, and a lot of young new pieces. That's a lot of newness.
It's a lot of newness. And listen, it's not like they would be the first team in the NFL to ever do that. they're essentially in that boat right now. They got two guys that are basically, you know, new to this, Vrabel and Rand Carthon, because we assumed that John Robinson had to say, you know, when he was GM. Then they really, you know, they move on from John, and the speculation is, you know, the assumption is that now Vrabel has the juice. He's the guy. Well, this is his first time doing it, too.
Yeah.
And then you add Rand Carthon, so you got two guys essentially at their job for the first time. Not, and I'm talking about head coach. I'm just talking about Vrabel's responsibilities now, what we assume his responsibilities are. So to me, I mean, why not? If indeed you're going to make that move, I wouldn't be so worried about Rand Carthon, because he's been through this before. He hasn't been a GM, but he's set in those rooms. And from what we understand, people took his, you know, his evaluations, you know, highly. They spoke highly of him and how he evaluates players.
And I wouldn't think he'd have this job if they didn't.
Exactly. Yeah. Attention to detail that he's about. So to me, yes, I wouldn't mind him being a first-time GM and him having sole control. Because, again, if it doesn't work, then obviously you're going to move on. But the problem is then, who do you go get at coach? That's we go back to that thing. If you're going to make this move, you better have somebody in line. Because if you don't do it, if you don't do it right, just like we always point back to A.J. Brown, we always point back to, well, you had a coach. Yeah, he was good, and he was having some bad, you know, two seasons in a row that were not good, but he was a good coach. And the only thing you needed to do was add more players. You had your guy, and you let him go. So if you're going to make that move, it better be the right one, and you better have the right replacement.
And that's the hard thing, is you probably don't know if you have the right replacement. Yeah. You won't know in that moment. You can hope, and you won't make that move unless you feel like you know that he is the right replacement. We don't know that.
Well, scared money don't win, so I get it. And you know, I say that, but then, you know, in the past, you know, when Vrabel's name was brought up and people were saying, well, you know, if they fire Vrabel, then somebody will hire him in a heartbeat, so you can't let him go. And I was always the one to think, well, you can't operate based on who's going to get him if you let him go. That's fine. That's how coaches are around the league. If you let one go, somebody's going to eventually pick them up.
Right.
So if you're ready to move on from a person, a head coach, you can't hold on to that head coach because you think, oh, this team is going to get him or this team's going
to
get him.
And I completely agree with you that if you get to the point where we need to make a change, then you make that change. And maybe you just need a fresh voice. It doesn't mean that that coach is necessarily a bad coach. It just means, hey, we need a new perspective in here. But that's what the understanding of and the agreement of, we're ready to make a change.
Yes.
I don't know if that's how they feel within the building.
It doesn't seem that way.
It doesn't seem that way.
I don't think
that he would fire John Robinson and give Mike Vrabel that much control if you were just going to turn around a year later and say, bye, Mike.
I can't see them doing it no time soon, meaning during the season. That would be crazy for them to do. Now, it depends on how the season goes, how it looks moving forward. There's a difference. There's a difference between, you know, a 8-9 team that just, you know, been injured and all this other stuff.
Like the Titans last year.
Exactly. Absolutely.
Everything then an 8-9 team gone wrong went wrong.
That nobody's injured. Everybody's, but they just look
they're
bad.
Just not good enough.
Yeah, they're just not good enough. So you look at the head coach and you say, well, maybe we need to make a change because you have all your pieces. And this team, for whatever reason, you hadn't been able to get this team going. As opposed of, you know, last year when Vrabel was in this situation, it was like, you fire him, but look at all these guys that's hurt, you know? At least if you're going to fire him, give him an opportunity to make things right. Well, this year may be the opportunity that Amy is giving him to make things right. I'm not saying, and I don't think you're advocating for him to be fired.
No.
But, you know,
I need more from him.
Yeah. Two seasons in a row, if you don't make it to the playoffs and you look bad, then I think it would be unfair to the fan base not to truly evaluate the head coach position. Truly. You can do what David Poyle did, what Trotsky did. Mm-hmm. Listen, we're evaluating this thing, and we will make our decisions on this day or before this day. Until then, we are in constant evaluation mode. We're evaluating the head coach, and we're evaluating the coaching staff as well as the personnel.
And it's also not out of the realm of possibility that Amy could have gone from elevating Mike Vrabel to more responsibility to now all of a sudden being sick and tired of him. I mean, she gave John Robinson an extension in February and fired him in November.
Yeah, so she can change her mind.
She can change her mind. And Tyler Texan says, you're not trading your coach in the middle out of the season. Get out of here with that nonsense. That's an end of the season decision. Yeah.
Yeah, that's, I mean, of
course.
You
don't make that decision right now.
Exactly. I didn't think that, you know, I didn't think that. I said if they made that decision during the season, I did say that like 10 minutes ago, I think. I said that would be crazy for them to make that decision in the middle of the season. I think I did say that. I forget a lot of things, but that I didn't forget. But the texture is right.
That would be an end of season thing.
That would be an end of season thing. So you are you're 100% right about that.
But if you're talking about trading away player assets at the trade deadline to collect assets for next year's draft, then your biggest cash cow, potentially the best picks that you could get in return, well, that's in your head coach.
Yeah.
You're not getting a first round pick from Derrick Henry.
No.
You're not getting a first round pick from DeAndre Hopkins or Kevin Byard.
You're not
Christian
getting
Fulton
a first round pick for anyone not named Jeffrey Simmons.
Other than Mike Vrabel,
yes.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. Let's get right into your phones on this coming up next. Caroline, Willie, D. Mace, 1025-1063 The Game.
If that is the case, I mean, should any decisions be made at all looking more towards long-term than for just this year, if the problems?
Well, I think we're always looking for this year and you know, problems. I mean, Anthony Kendall, Matt Jackson, like, they earned a right to be on this team. And Anthony has done a fantastic job. And when they punted, Anthony took his guy in a single block and blocked him behind the line of scrimmage and knocked him on the ground. So, you know, we have to, you know, when we cover these punts, it's not just all on a gunner, right? We got to cast the net. We got to get our tails out of there. We got to go down there and limit the space that they have. And we didn't have that, you know, whether that was the gunners, the interior players, you know, we're all at fault. The only guy that made anything right was Stoney. It was an unbelievable effort to get the guy on the ground and allow the defense to defend what they could and give up just 3 points there. So, you know, we're all – everything works in unison. And then trying to get that unit execution is what we talked about earlier in this conversation with you guys, is trying to get the players to understand – starts with yourself. It starts with me. It starts with the coaches. And then it's, you know, about our position, and it's about our unit, and then ultimately about the team success.
A whole lot of words there from Mike Vrabel. But it's kind of the golden question that the Titans now face themselves with, and it's short-term or long-term. Is it prioritizing now, or is it prioritizing next year? Because you have the trade deadline coming up in 2 weeks. You have a bye this week, then the Falcons, then the trade deadline. You have to make some tough decisions. But let's get into your thoughts on what the Titans should do moving forward. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Mo Texan says, everybody is talking about tearing the team down, but why don't we use the trade deadline to acquire somebody at the deadline, like an offensive lineman? I don't think there's going to be any offensive linemen out there that are going to be worth your while. Like, people just don't give up good offensive linemen in a trade, much less at the trade deadline. And I also don't think that this team is in any position to give up picks.
Yeah, they can't. They have nothing
to
give.
At the deadline, yeah.
You know, if you're talking, and I understand what the texter is saying.
Yeah, like, the offensive line sucks.
Like, listen,
the
offensive line is not good. Let's go out and make some trades and get better offensive linemen. Well, essentially what you're going to get in return is more backups. Mm-hmm. You're not going to get anyone starter in this league. If you have a solid starting offensive lineman, you're not looking to trade those guys because they're hard to find. So anyone you would be getting would be a backup, and then you would have to give up assets for a backup player. Yeah. You've already done that. You got a bunch of backup players on that offensive line already, and look how they're performing. Mm-hmm. Not well. So I don't think you want to go down that road. And you know, like you said, Carol, they don't have much to give up anyway.
Yeah.
So they're not a buyer. You know, they're not one guy away from getting to the Super Bowl. Now, if you would have approached me and presented this 2 or 3 years ago, then I'm like, yes, do it.
Go for it.
Absolutely. But this year, nah.
And you're not just one offensive lineman middle of the season trade away.
Exactly.
You need four linemen.
Yeah, you need four of those jokers.
I mean, yeah, that line needs some serious overhaul. Mm-hmm. That line is awful.
Yeah, they're not good. They're not good at all.
One texter checks in. Skyler says, why don't you agree to trading assets, Caroline? Are you satisfied with what you've seen the past 2 years? I get that the Titans won't get any crazy picks trading vets, but why would you not trade for picks and still end the season with a 5-12 record? I'm just confused why you make it sound just insane that the Titans wouldn't trade players for 4th and 5th round picks instead of nothing. LOL, help us understand. First of all, I think you're being a little hyperbolic there. I didn't ever say that it was idiotic that if you wanted to trade players for assets at the trade deadline. I 100% totally 2020 vision, crystal clear, see why people would want that. Mm-hmm. This team doesn't look very good. There's not a lot of confidence in this team. There are a lot of people that want to move ahead for the future. I get that. I see that perspective. But I disagree because I want to win football games. Mm-hmm. Because I also don't think that it's crazy to win as many football games as you possibly can and then pivot for the future next season or pivot for the future when you're completely out of things. Like, I want to win as many football games as possible. Also, the other side of that, for all of you people that are so eager to see Will Levis, this line stinks, and if you trade away DeAndre Hopkins and Derrick Henry, then who's Will Levis going to throw to with a Treylon Burks that can't stay on the field? Nick Westbrook-Ikhine and Chris Moore is going to all of a sudden unlock something in your rookie quarterback that was kind of iffy in the preseason anyway?
Yeah.
So that's my thing. I don't think that it's idiotic to think that you want to trade assets, but I'm just saying I want to win football games.
Yeah, and that's the dilemma the Titans find themselves in because they never wanted to truly embrace the rebuild. And I understand because, listen, if you're in rebuild mode, you might not have a job the next following season to oversee the rebuild.
Yeah,
so
that's so true.
I understand, you know, unless you got the understanding from the owner saying, hey, listen, you're good. Do the rebuild. You're still the head coach. We're fine. If you've gotten that word, then okay.
But even with that, because I'm with you.
Yeah.
But the only thing that makes me iffy about that is, don't you think that John Robinson got the okay from ownership to trade A.J. Brown?
Oh, of course he got the okay.
And then that's why he got fired.
Yeah, but they don't they are framing it as, no, that's not why he got fired, because of the A.J. Brown situation.
Maybe it was just a coincidence
that they fired him after A.J. Brown had 957 yards and 5 touchdowns on 8 catches. You know? Then you
when
just
he spanked the goalpost.
Absolutely.
So punishing you for what you did.
So you just fired the guy. No, I mean, you know, it's to me, you know, it's hard because yes, you want to win as many games as possible.
Yeah.
But you got in the back of your mind, you know, that, hey, listen, this roster isn't good, and we have to do something to make sure next year's roster is a lot better. You know, we can do it via the draft, or we can do it via free agency. Now, if they make no trades before the trade deadline, then they're going to have to be willing to spend some money in the offseason to give veteran guys free agents that are going to be on the market. And if you got to pay them top dollar, then you just may have to do that because you saw when you didn't want to do that this year,
what happened.
Yeah. So you may have to pull out that checkbook and start writing some real money so you can get some players in here that are still at the, you know, apex of their game, not guys that are solely going down rather than being at the apex or going up.
Shane is on the line with the thought of the Titans trading at the trade deadline. What's up, Shane?
Hey, guys. I just wanted to just point something out to me. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but to me, it makes no sense to trade at the trading deadline to get assets unless you're in contention to be a playoff or a contender. Wouldn't you trade on the offseason for assets for more picks? So why would you trade for assets for picks in the middle of the season? Explain that to me and I'll hang up. Thanks for taking my phone call.
Yeah, thanks for your call, Shane.
There are contracts that
might expire that you won't get any picks in return.
Tannehill, Derrick Henry, even Kevin Byard, even though I think they added a year to the contract somewhere around there. And D-Hop is a two-year deal, but essentially is a one-year. So you got three or four guys that are on expiring.
Derrick has another year, right?
I thought this may have been his last year. He may have it, but he may have another year. But even with that, it's another year top dollar for a running back that is on a decline.
And you're getting less on the deal.
Exactly. So to me, those are expiring contracts. Mm-hmm. Tannehill, expiring contract. Byard, an expiring contract. D-Hop, an expiring contract. So these guys that you have with 1 year, meaning this year, or 2 years, meaning this year and next year, you do think about moving on from those guys because they're not guys that are in their fifth, sixth year, or seventh year. These are guys that are in their ninth, tenth year, and you are not getting the play that you believed you thought you were going to get. These guys are on the decline. So if you can get something for them right now, mm-hmm. then you get that because you're building for the future. And right now, you don't have much future assets to build on.
And it's a fair question, and it's also taking advantage of desperation.
Mm-hmm.
There's teams out there that are thinking, all right, we're a lot better than we thought we were going to mm-hmm. be. Or we're a Super Bowl contender that's been plagued with injuries. And now we think that we are a player away from keeping our season alive or contending for the Super Bowl to get into the playoffs. In the offseason, it's different.
Mm-hmm.
It's, you know, they have several other ways to supplement their team, whether it's through free agency or through the draft. In the middle of the season, it's where can we fill holes in our roster that either we didn't think would exist
mm-hmm.
or how can we supplement our team to be better and get us to that next level because we didn't think that we'd be this good anyway.
Yeah, you do have teams like that. So those are the teams that you are, you know, behind the scenes reaching out to and seeing just seeing what you can get for them. Mm-hmm. Just sort of throwing it out there hypothetically and seeing, how much you can get for player A or player B, whoever it may be.
Mm-hmm.
If indeed you feel you're at a point in your season where, you know what, yeah, we may win some games, but it's not going to be enough to get us in the playoffs. So we need to do something now. And put us in a position where we are getting players that we desperately need next year.
Let's pick some underdogs coming up next. Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.